what he is saying and try to understand more about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're not envious persons, tatte nukampam, tattu te guyatamam, pravakshami anasuyave. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that the reason I am explaining this knowledge to you, Arjuna, is because you are not envious of me. Otherwise, this transcendental knowledge is meant for the topmost Paramahansa. It is Raja Vidya. He's the king of all education. Today, we find that students are very much anxious to get a degree in science, because by studying science, we can get a job in some department to do with technology, and we can get a very good salary and a lot of prestige. Today's gurus, who are teaching people the purpose of human life, or teaching people what the meaning of life is, these are the material scientists. They teach people that there is no God, that man has come into being by a process of evolution. First there were chemicals, and the chemicals combined, and ultimately at a certain stage of development, life came out. Life is nothing special. Life is simply the result of a complex organization of chemicals. And people accept it. Even people as pious and exalted in many ways as the Catholic Pope. He has come out in a mood of accepting what the scientists say about evolution. I don't know the details, but it was there in the paper and there in Time magazine that the Pope has accepted the principle of evolution, which totally, if you understand it at its root, it means that there is no need for God. Maybe God starts the process of evolution going, but then he has no control over it. The laws take over. This is something like the Karma Mimamsa philosophy of Jaimini, that you perform your prescribed duties, and for every action there's a reaction, and God sets the law of karma in motion, but then afterwards he has to award you the results of your activities. So there's no need for God anymore. You simply work and you get the result. So this type of compromise is very dangerous. Life does not come from life. Life is given by the Supreme Life. And no complex organization of chemicals can produce life. If that were so, then you produce one chicken. Don't do anything complicated. Just make a little chicken. Open up an egg. What is there? Some yellow chemical, some white chemical. You mix them, and you make one chicken. You put it in a plastic egg, and you put it in an incubator, you make one chicken. But they cannot do that. because they are simply bluffing for name, fame, and prestige. Name, fame, glory. That's all they want. The poet was right. Name, fame, glory. Even the scientist. Once I visited a scientist in London along with His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami, who is in charge of our Bhakti Vedanta Institute in San Francisco. So, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj was inviting this scientist to come to our World Congress for the Synthesis of Science and Religion. It was a function which we held on the 500th anniversary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Bombay. A very grand function. We had over 40 delegates from around the world in different fields of science, philosophy, and religion. It was the biggest gathering of foreign scholars in India at the time. So we got very good media coverage in the newspaper every day for 6 days, on the front page or on the back page or somewhere prominently. So anyway, we were inviting different scholars. So we invited this scientist to come, and he was a little prominent in his field, but there were others working in his field also. So Srup Damodar Maharaj told him that we would like to invite you, and we've also spoken to one man in Paris, one Frenchman, and he's also working in the same field as you, and he's made some progress in that field. So immediately, although the man had been very friendly initially, immediately he began to show signs of envy. And for the next half hour, he simply told us how that man was doing nothing, his discoveries were inconsequential, he didn't know what he was doing, he couldn't really be a scientist. I've never seen such a display of envy. He's supposed to be a big, big scientist. But every scientist is getting government grants. They have to maintain their wife and babies too. So they need that grant money, and if they're doing the same work as some other scientists, why should the government give them any money? So they have to do something better, something different, something greater. So they're prepared to do anything. So these materialistic persons, they are envious of God. And if you tell them about the soul, they don't want to hear. Even if you present it nicely, they have blocked off their mind. They have already got an idea, a theory, and they don't want you to change their ideas. So they're called asuras. They may be scientists, they may be anyone. Maybe a gross materialist who is no better than a buffalo. If you've seen a buffalo in India, have you seen buffaloes? Yeah. Do you have buffaloes here? No. In Croatia, no buffaloes. Only some people you know, right? In India, whenever we would find someone who was particularly stupid, we would always call him a buffalo brain, because they drink buffalo milk there, because it's very thick and greasy, a lot of fat in it, so you can add a lot of water and increase the volume of milk, so it becomes cheaper. Although cow's milk is available more cheaply, but it's a little thinner. It's meant for human consumption. Buffalo milk is not. You can make good dahi, good yogurt from it, but for drinking, it makes you, you know, buffalo. Have you seen the buffaloes that walk down the street? Big horns. They walk very slowly. They're very dull. They have thick skin. You can honk your horn at them. You can do anything. They just... So... some people are like that, buffalo brain. You can give them matir nakrishne paratasvato ramito vipadyeta griha vratanam adanta gopir vishatatamishram puna punascharvita charvam. Adanta gopir vishatatamishram. They remain in the modes of ignorance. And if they're lucky, a little passion. Mostly ignorance. And they simply engage in chewing the chewed. The same activities over and over again. They take the old wine and put it in a new bottle and say, we are modern people, we are doing disco, and we are doing nightclub and this and that. And our forefathers, they didn't have Michael Jackson, they didn't have surround sound, they didn't have light show. How could they be happy? But really, it's just the same business all over again. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. You make it a little more sophisticated, you decorate it a little bit differently, but underneath it's really just the same thing, over and over again in every life. Every animal is doing the same thing, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And the taste is really relative. So human life is not meant for such buffalo life. Whether you're a buffalo, or whether you're an atheistic scientist, or whatever it is, the asuras, they can't understand Krishna. The two classes of men, the asuras and the asuras. The devotees of the Lord, their quality is they want to love Krishna. They want to know the truth, and they want to be a servant of the truth. They're not envious. They may be a learned scholar like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was a walking encyclopedia. Or they may be Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who couldn't read or write his own name. But he was an exalted Vaishnava. Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Sarvayaganaistatra Samasate Sura. The devotees of the Lord are Niskinchana, Akinchana. They have no material attachments. And therefore they are able to purchase. They have no money. What can you purchase if you have no money? Even if you have money these days, you can't really purchase anything. Yeah, she's agreeing with me. You go in the market, there isn't anything to purchase, even if you have money. Right? Especially in different countries. Go to Moscow. They say that you can't even purchase anything. You have 20 million rubles. You can buy a glass of milk or something. Even in Mexico City, it's like that. You have 100 million pesetas. You can't buy even a glass to put the milk in. But even if you get so much money in the material world, it won't bring you happiness that you desire. So the devotees, they have no material possessions, no material attachments. But they can purchase sabse kimti chiz, the most valuable thing. They can purchase Krishna because he's akinchana gochara. Kunti Devi praised Janma, Aishwarya, Sruta, Sribir, Edamana Madhakuman. If you're still interested in good birth, education, wealth, fame, name, glory, name, fame, glory. If I want to be a singer, I've got to get it straight. Then you can purchase Krishna. Krishna's purchased by someone who has no material attachment. So that's a devotee. The quality of a devotee. We're all very nice devotees. As far as the atheistic are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear as he is to destroy. It is not necessary for the Lord to appear as he is to destroy them, as he did with the demons Ravana and Kamsa. So, Krishna comes sometimes, here it says, Vinashaya. Ashaya or Nasha means to destroy. So Vinashaya, to really destroy. V means it adds emphasis. Just like we have karma and then we have vikarma. Very heavy karmic activity, vikarma. So Vinashaya. Krishna comes to destroy the biggest of demons. He is Ajita. Krishna is unconquerable. No matter how strong, even Saddam Hussein, even a big demon like that, or he may be a hero, I don't know, but he's certainly a materialistic person. Whether it's Bill Clinton or Ronald Reagan or Mr. Gorbachev or whoever it is, they're all demons. And they may be very powerful in so many ways, but for Krishna it's just like a little ant. You step on a little ant. Krishna can create and annihilate as he desires. So Krishna doesn't, he comes personally when there's a demon like Ravana. Ravana was a very powerful demon, and in fact Ravana was a devotee in the disguise of a demon. He was a devotee in the disguise of a demon. Kansa also was a very special personality. So Krishna came to fight with them, and there was some rasa there. But Krishna doesn't have to fight with Mr. Reagan or Mr. He just gives him some nice disease. Huh? Mr. Reagan, big powerful man, and now he's shaking to death. He's losing everything. He's gone, practically. Horrible death. Who knows what will happen to all the demons in the world who have persecuted the devotees. Who can say how they will die? Krishna doesn't have to come. He can do so many things. But the Lord especially descends to appease his unalloyed devotees who are always harassed by the demonic. The demon harasses the devotee even though the latter may happen to be his relative, his kin. Although Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakashipu, he was nonetheless persecuted by his father. Although Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was the sister of Kansa,
She and her husband Vasudev were persecuted only because Krishna was to be born of them. So Lord Krishna appeared primarily to deliver Devaki rather than to kill Kamsa. But both were done simultaneously. Therefore, it is said here that to deliver the devotee and to vanquish the demon miscreants, the Lord appears in different incarnations. So in this Kali Yuga, if Krishna had to come to kill the demons, there would be nobody left. So instead he kills the demoniac mentality by the holy name. The holy name has that power to destroy karmani nirdhati kintu shabhakti bhajam, destroy all of our papa bija, our sinful desire seeds. The holy name of Krishna fries those seeds so they can't sprout, they can't fructify, they can't grow. If you fry a seed and put it in the ground, it's still a seed. You can pour all the water you like, but it won't grow. It's effectively dead. So in the same way, the holy name is so powerful that no matter how much sin one has committed in his past life, patakam patki naraha, the holy name can destroy more sin than it is even possible to commit. That is the potency of the holy name. That is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishna Das Kaviraj, the following verses summarize these principles of incarnation. Shrishti hetu jai murti prapanche avatare seishwara murti avatara nama dhare mayatita paravyome sabara avastana vishve avatari dhare avatara nama. The avatar, or incarnation of God, descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation. And the particular form of the personality of Godhead who so descends is called an incarnation, or avatar. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. When they descend, avatar means one who descends, and there are different, oh here it says, there are various kinds of avatars, such as Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Leela avatars, Shaktyavesh avatars, Manvantara avatars, and Yuga avatars. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga avatar, or even more than that, of course, he is Krishna, known as Tri-Yugi. He appears only in three out of four yugas, generally. But he comes in Kali Yuga not exactly as an avatar, but he comes as a bhakta. He is Krishna, Swayam Krishna, but he comes in the role of a devotee to teach us how to be a devotee. God comes to teach us how to be his devotee because we're so buffalo. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita only 5,000 years ago, and already people have forgotten the meaning. Satakam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridhavrataha namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yuktu shasate. My devotees are always engaged in chanting my holy name. Eternally, nitya yuktu shasate. Nitya means not only up to the point of liberation, but eternally. Nitya yukta upasana. This is a very clear refutation of the Mayavadi idea that you worship God until you merge into God. You take shelter of the holy name, or you take shelter of any deity, it doesn't matter, Durga, Kali, Ganesh, Vishnu, any deity you like. You chant any name of God, it's simply a means to merge. But that is not the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Nitya yukta upasate means eternally worshipping me by chanting my glories. So all these different incarnations come in different yugas, they descend with a specific mission. Krishna comes on time, on schedule. Not like the Indian trains, but he actually comes on time to the day. He comes to the specific room. It's all described in Shastra. In the Bhagavatam, it is described when Lord Buddha will appear. It's also described where Kalki avatar will come, who will be his mother and father, what village he will be born in. Everything is described in different scriptures. So Krishna comes according to schedule, and he appears all over the universe in every species of life. But the Lord Krishna, he is the primeval Lord. Ete chamsa kala pumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. He's Swayam Bhagavan. He's the original form of Godhead. Sometimes people will try to convince you, especially Indians, but even scholars, that Vishnu is the source of Krishna. But that's not at all true. They have no knowledge. Their knowledge, they are also Maya Aparita Jnana. They are also Duskritina. Namam Duskritina. Upadyante Naradamam. Naradamam. Maya Aparita Jnana. Their knowledge is stolen by illusion. So they think that Vishnu is the source of Krishna, but that's not there in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam says that Krishna, the person Krishna, he is the origin of Vishnu. And you can tell, if you see Krishna, what he's always enjoying. He's dancing with the gopis, or he's wrestling with his friends, or he's taking prasadam, or he's killing some demon. He's never doing any work. He's always enjoying it. And that is bhokta. Krishna says bhokta rama. He is the supreme enjoyer. Purush uttam. Uttam means the supreme, the highest. Purusha, enjoyer. Purushottam. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Vishnu, Narayan, he is in charge of the office. When God goes to the office to do some work, then that is Vishnu. But when he's at home with his family and friends, that is Krishna. Krishna and Vishnu, there's no difference, but they have a different appearance. So Krishna is the original form of Godhead. And he comes in that original form. His travel agent may be Vishnu, but Krishna comes himself. He may appear to come through Vishnu. When Krishna first appeared in the prison cell, he manifested his four-armed Vishnu form. So it appeared that Vishnu came first, then Krishna. But actually, Mother Yashoda,
Vasudeva brother and Devaki, they were very much frightened by this opulent form. They much more wanted to see Krishna as a little baby. They wanted Krishna as their baby, actually. In previous lifetimes, they performed great austerity, both husband and wife. It's possible. But husband and wife can practice austerity. Austerity is not just meant for brahmacharis, but austerity is transcendental to both divyam. Transcendental austerity is the wealth of the Brahmin class of men. You can attract Krishna by practicing some. If you don't practice austerity voluntarily, you'll be forced to practice austerity in the form of old age, disease, and death, in the form of war, pestilence, in the form of disaster, karma. You'll be forced to perform austerity anyway, so might as well perform transcendental austerity and get some credit, get some power, some shakti, become impervious to the miseries of material existence by exercising your spiritual muscles. So Vasudeva and Devaki, in a previous life, they had performed very, very rigid austerities. And Krishna was pleased by their effort, not by their austerities, but by their sincerities. Not by their austerities. So he said, "What do you want? We want a son just like you." Krishna said, "It's impossible. There's no son like me. I'm original. There's no one like me. But I agree, I personally will become your son." So in three births, they were able to get Krishna as their son. So, but they didn't want to see Krishna as Vishnu. Even the gopis were not interested in Vishnu. They were dancing with Krishna in the Rasalila dance, and Krishna sensed that they became a little prideful. False pride is not compatible with pure devotional service. A devotee is always humble. In interviewing many devotees for writing Srila Prabhupada Lilamata, for making all these video movies about Prabhupada, it has become apparent that the reason that most devotees were attracted to Srila Prabhupada was because he had one quality which was so prominent and was so attractive, so beautiful. And that quality was that Srila Prabhupada was so humble. Humble doesn't mean he was a useless person and couldn't do anything anyway. Like, once a devotee, my good friend, anyway, I won't say his name, but it's a famous story. Prabhupada was always glorifying Prabhupada and always begging for Prabhupada's mercy. Even today, he's always reading about Prabhupada and talking about Prabhupada. But at one point, he just became too much, too a little overbearing. He was saying, "Oh, Prabhupada, I'm so fallen. I'm the most fallen, Srila Prabhupada. I'm so fallen." Prabhupada turned to him and said, "You're not the most of anything. You're just insignificant." So we're not even the most fallen. We're just insignificant, actually. If Krishna hadn't picked us up, engaged us in devotional service, we would have been just another non-entity out of all the
5 billion or 6 billion,
we would have been another nondescript. Now we've got some provenance. We're devotees of the Lord. That's a great thing. We're not even devotees yet. We're trying to become devotees. But even that is great. You're one in millions. Manushyanam sasresu kastid yatati siddhaye. Nobody's even thinking about perfection in life, what to speak attempting to become perfect in life. Nobody even thinks about it. They're two buffalo brains. So, Srila Prabhupada was very qualified. He was from a very wealthy, aristocratic family, and he was a very learned scholar. He studied philosophy and Sanskrit in college, and he took initiation from his spiritual master and was recognized very early as a poet. He was given in 1939 the title by the Gaudiya Vaishnava Society, the title of Bhaktivedanta, even as a householder. He was still a householder at that time. He was very scholarly and very aristocratic, and he was very sincere. He was the only one of thousands of disciples. Bhaktisiddhanta had thousands of disciples. Many of them were professors, very learned, because Bhaktisiddhanta himself was a walking encyclopedia. He was very learned, so he attracted many learned men. But Srila Prabhupada, although so highly qualified, he never took any credit for himself. It was always International Society for Krishna Consciousness, not the Bhaktivedanta Swami Mission. How many yogis do we know? Bogey yogis, that, you know, the Chinmaya this mission, and the this one that mission, Yogi Ananda Baba mission. Always advertising you go there, and immediately they've got one chair, and there are sunbeams coming out from the chair, and they're sitting there, and people are, you know, this is the boy God, or this is, you know, you come to realize God, and he presses your eyes, do you see the light, do you see the light? One fellow who did like that, actually. You know that?
No.
There was one boy, he claimed he was 15 years old, and that he was God, although those who knew him knew that he was actually 37, but he looked young, and he fooled so many Westerners. And the way his process was, he would actually take you and put his hands, just like the Three Stooges, you know, Curly Larry, and pushing the eyes, and when you, you know, started to see stars, you see the light. And, I'm serious. People were so stupid, buffalo brain, that they took him to be God. God is so cheap. No one is God. Only Krishna is God. And Krishna proved he was God by his wonderful pastimes. So, Srila Prabhupada never promoted himself. He was so humble. Lord Sri Krishna descends for the specific purpose of mitigating the anxieties of the pure devotees who are very anxious to see him in his original Vrindavan pastimes. Therefore, the prime purpose of the Krishna avatar is to satisfy his unalloyed devotees. Krishna loves us. I remember while preaching in the Western countries, oftentimes, because we were actually, the devotees of Krishna are so intense that many leaders of the world are afraid of them. Although we're a small group of people, but we have a very powerful philosophy, and we're very committed, and we exude ecstatic symptoms, which attract people who are very dry and suffering. Who are these people dancing so freely, so nicely, in ecstasy? They become attracted. What makes them dance like that? People want to know. And we're doing everything right. For 30 years we've been telling people, be vegetarian, practice celibacy, live a simple life, do meditation. We've been saying these things, and people initially, they thought we were crazy, or they ignored us, or sometimes they persecuted us. But now, 30 years later, everybody's realizing, yes, vegetarian is a very good diet. Everybody's saying it. I just read an article in one magazine about James Garner. You probably haven't heard of James Garner, but he was a very famous movie actor. There was a movie series called The Maverick, and he was a gambler, and he was very famous. And then there was another movie, she was a model or something, Sybil Shepherd. Mm-hmm. You heard of her? Okay. So the meatpackers industry, they started to do some advertising campaign to get people to eat more meat. Real food for real people. That was their campaign, because more and more people were becoming vegetarians. And they were very worried that they were losing millions and millions of dollars. So they started one campaign using James Garner, promoting real food for real men. And Sybil Shepherd also promoting eating more meat. Be healthy. Like me. Eat meat like me and be healthy. But then, 1 week after starting the campaign, having hired a company, having spent millions of dollars, James Garner had a heart attack and had to have quadruple bypass surgery, and it was discovered that Sybil Shepherd was a vegetarian. Their whole campaign was destroyed. So we've been saying these things for 30 years. Be celibate. You won't have a problem with AIDS. If you want children, have sex. If you don't want children, control yourself. It's so simple. If you want sex, have hundreds of children. There's no overpopulation in the kingdom of God. When we use everything for Krishna's service and glorify Him, He will give us plenty. Esha Vostrishta Karma Dup. So, we've been saying these things, and now there are many people who agree with us and even promote celibacy. Continence. We call it continence. And one by practicing celibacy, one gets great strength, power. Physical strength, mental strength, spiritual strength. By practicing celibacy, the whole body becomes very charged, spiritually potent, and no intoxication. We've been saying all these things. Finally, maybe they're getting through to the buffalo brain neighborhood. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation. Pardon me, I'm wrong verse. Therefore, the prime purpose of the Krishna avatar is to satisfy his unalloyed devotees. The Lord says that he incarnates himself in every millennium. This indicates that he incarnates also in the age of Kali,
As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the incarnation in the age of Kali is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who spread the worship of Krishna by the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So now, just now, some 25 years, 30 years after beginning, we have really started to give attention to the congregation, because that's the only way we can do congregational chanting. If we don't have a congregation, how can we do congregational chanting? And spread Krishna consciousness throughout India. This was Lord Chaitanya. He predicted that this culture of Sankirtan would be broadcast all over the world, from town to town and village to village. Pratidite ache jato nagar adigram. Nagar adigram. Town and village. Just like Krishna Nagar. How many of you have been to Mayapur? Anybody has been to Mayapur? How many of you want to go to Mayapur? So, you have my blessings. You should all go. And even if you can stay for even 1 year, you will get so much culture.
Isn't it true?
He's a very funny man. Very learned man. Very scholarly. But very jolly. So, if you live in India for a little while, then you will really enjoy it. Because you will see that, in fact, this culture goes back thousands of years. And you see in the Indian people, even though it's the last vestiges, the last traces, there's still some culture is there. And it, just you see, it's not, Krishna consciousness is not a cult. We're not a cult, we're a culture. Culture. That was the problem. We were thinking it was culture. So, it's actually culture. If you're cultured, you say culture. So, Lord Chaitanya came, and Nagaradigram, in every town and village, he predicted. Lord Chaitanya as the incarnation of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is described secretly, but not directly, in the confidential parts of the revealed scriptures such as the Upanishads, Mahabharata, and Bhagavatam. The devotees of Lord Krishna are very much attracted by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. This avatar of the Lord does not kill the miscreants, but delivers them by his causeless mercy. Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, they want to see all of us happy. Even their devotees dedicate their lives to making everyone happy. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. Krishna is described as suridam sarvabhutanam, the friend of all living beings. The dearmost friends. And what we are endeavoring to do is teach people how to become Krishna's friend, how to become Krishna's devotee. Bhaktosi me sakacheti rahasyam yetadutamam. Again, Arjuna, he's not a sannyasi. He's not a sannyasi. He has three wives. He's very much a grihastha. Completely entangled. And he's not a brahmana. He's a chatra. And he fights. He kills.
He's enthusiastic to kill. It's not like he's not. He's a Kshatriya. A big, powerful body, and muscles as big as your chest. Yeah, he's a very big man. Very big. Like, if you go to India, once I drove overland from Germany, I bought a Kuhlwagen. It was cheap. BBC Brown Boveri, I remember it very much because we lived in it for 1 month. We got stranded in Istanbul. I had no money. Anyway, I was the president of Hyderabad Temple, so I wanted a vehicle for Sankirtan. So we had no money to buy in India. It was very expensive. So I went to Germany and bought a Kuhlwagen. Mercedes 911. The nice truck with a big box on the back. So we drove in the winter time, actually, in November, October, November. No, no, it was November. We drove through Turkey, through the mountains in Turkey. Oh, my gosh. That was really an experience. There were all these drivers from the Philippines who used to drive these articulated lorries, big, long tractor trailer. And they would drive them at breakneck speed. And you could see on both of the road was going up like this. It was all solid ice. Solid ice in the winter. And me and another brahmachari, we were like, you know, we were going slowly. Yes, it was very dangerous. And if you go too slowly, your petrol would freeze. The benzene would freeze in the tank. If you go too slowly, you stop, you're in trouble. So on both sides of the road, down the bank, there would be these big trucks, all, you know, many of them. Because they drive quickly, and they drink also. So. It was very dangerous, very exciting. A lot of fun. We were chanting our rounds very sincerely. Yes, it's true. I never chanted better rounds in my life. So, anyway, I got to India, and at the border of India and Pakistan, they have these Punjabis, Sikhs. They have the turban, and they're all about 6'8" tall. Very big, big men. Huh, you've seen? Yeah. They're very big. You think, you know, most like Srila Prabhupada, he was 5'4" or something, 5'5". Most Indians are not so big. But the Punjabis, they drink lots of milk and eat lots of cheese. Mostly buffalo milk. It's good for building big bodies. There's so many jokes about, like there are jokes about Polish people sometimes. I don't know if there's anyone here from Poland. There are jokes about everyone, so don't worry. Like how many Polish people does it take to put in a light bulb? You know, one to hold the bulb and one to turn in. So there are jokes like that about Punjabis also. In the famous temple, there's a famous temple in Amritsar called the Golden Temple. Huh? You've been to the Golden Temple? Famous temple. They do a lot of kirtan there. Krishna kirtan, actually. Chanting different bhajans about Lord Krishna. Sikhs, they're not exactly Hindus or Vaishnavas or whatever, but pretty close. They actually, the Sikh religion began to protect the Brahmanas against the Persian or Muslim invasion, because the Muslims would kill all the Brahmanas. There was one famous ruler, Aurangzeb, who was very murderous. So he would kill, he would like to have a big pile of Brahmin threads. He would instruct his men to go out and kill Brahmanas and bring back the threads, and he'd make a big mountain of Brahmin threads and then burn them. So the Sikhs, they were very passionate, and they were Kshatriyas actually. So they formed a religion called Sikhism, and it was meant to protect the Brahmins, and they defeated many battles against the Muslims. But anyway, in this temple, golden temple, they distribute lots of prasadam, and they have lots of kirtan. But there's a story of one Sikh fellow. He comes to the temple, and in front of the temple there's a clock, a big clock, just like here you have a clock. And he comes to the temple and the guards are there, and he becomes very angry at the guards. He said, "You are all crazy. You're standing here guarding the temple, but someone has stolen one of the arms of the clock. There's only one arm there. You should be fired immediately, shot. You've not done your job." And then someone looks up at the clock and he says, "Sardarji, Bara Bajgiya." Means, "Sardarji, it's 12 o'clock. So if you ever have any trouble with any Sikhs in India, say, "Sardarji, Bara Bajgiya." 12 o'clock, they all laugh. Famous joke. But anyway, they were Kshatriyas. Arjuna was a Kshatriya. Very powerful man, very intelligent also. He was very powerful. Of all the students of Drona, he was the best student. At the final test, Drona asked all his students to shoot the eye of a bird in a tree, to take an arrow and shoot out the eye of the bird. So each student, including Duryodhana, including Yudhisthira, Bhima, all of them, they got up to shoot. And just as they picked up their bow and started to aim, Drona asked them, "What do you see?" And Yudhisthira answered one thing, Duryodhana answered, "I see the tree. I see the branch of the tree. I see the bird. I see his eye." "No, no, you failed. Finish, stop." Everybody answered like that. "I see the background. I see the sky. The sun is shining on the bird. I see the light." "No, no, you failed. Arjuna, what do you see?" "I only see the eye of the bird." "Shoot." You won. He was the best student because he focused on his target. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kuru nandana. The devotees of the Lord also have to focus on their service to Krishna. It's called vyavasayatmika buddhi, fixed intelligence. And chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
See, when you put your hands up like this in the air, you turn your head to the sky, it means you're inviting Krishna, "Please come into my heart." Everybody put your hands up. Let's invite Krishna into our lives, into our hearts.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Krishna loves us so much that he comes himself. He doesn't only send his only begotten son. He comes personally. Even more than sending his son or his servant or... Krishna doesn't like to see us loitering here in this world of misery. Dukkalayama Shastvatam. No matter what you do, no matter how good an organizer or planner you are, no matter what arrangements you make, you cannot stop old age, disease, and death, and rebirth. You cannot stop miseries caused by other living beings, or miseries caused by your own body, or miseries caused by nature. There are so many miseries in this world, and you can't be happy here. And you should quit trying. You should try for that which you can actually achieve. The best thing, love of Krishna. And in order to do that, you have to focus yourself. You have to put Krishna in the center of your life. Practically speaking, you have to eat only Krishna prasadam. It's very nice that Krishna has given us this process. If we had to eat, if we had to worship Krishna, and then when it came time for a meal, we forget Krishna and eat, and then go... Time is wasted. No. You offer your food to Krishna, and then you pray over the prasadam, thank Krishna for sending the prasadam, and then you taste it, and as you eat it, you say, Hare Krishna, and you take another bite and say, Hare Krishna. In that way, you can eat 24 hours a day. And go back to Godhead. If you're so inclined. I know some devotees who really like to eat prasadam. So, this is the kitchen religion. We can do it. Yes. That is why, actually, ladies, they have the most power. They know they've captured the kitchen. The best place. So, taking Krishna prasadam, using the fruits of our work for satisfying Krishna. Everybody, I have seen everywhere I've gone in the world, somehow or other, even poor people manage to come up with a little discretionary money to give to Krishna. In fact, poor people often give more than wealthy people. Not always, but very often. Poor people have more communion with God than a wealthy person. What do they say? It's easier for an elephant or a camel, either one, to go through an eye of a needle. You couldn't get a camel or an elephant through. And similarly, for a wealthy man who's too proud of his wealth, not surrendered, he thinks that his money can buy him everything. He even tries to bribe Krishna. Yeah, they do. They think, oh yes, you devotees, you need me. They're coming to me begging for money. Take some money, feed some poor people. They do like that. It's their great privilege to give Lakshmi to Krishna. If they don't give it voluntarily, then Krishna will come and take it away. Yes? Krishna will take it away, just like he took Sita back from Ravana. Sita's another name is Lakshmi. And Ravana was killed because he tried to enjoy Lakshmi, Sita, independently of Krishna. So if you try to enjoy your material wealth without using it in Krishna's service, then you'll be killed. Not directly, but indirectly you'll be covered. Asradadanasya purusya dhamasyasya parantapa prapya maam. Nivartante. Mrityu sansara vartmani. you get put back into the cycle of birth and death. And this is the most fearful thing. Neha vikramanasya stipati vayo navidite svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mato vayat. By doing a little service to Krishna, any kind of service, sweeping the floor, or cleaning Krishna's dishes, or helping pack prasadam for Sankirtan, or any kind of service that you do, hearing, just opening your ears, getting the wax out, and hearing Krishna Katha, that service. Nachatasman manusheshu kaschinme priyapritamam. The devotees who hear this message of Bhagavad Gita and preach, they're very dear to me. Any little su'alpam, any little service Krishna is happy with, and that will protect you from mahatobhayat, the greatest fear. Prabhupada is called Abhaya. Abhaya Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, AC, Abhaya Chara. So, he was fearless in the Bhagavad Gita. Didn't care for anything. He was not afraid of anything or anyone. He simply knew that I have to fulfill the order of my Guru Maharaj. Without that, I have no reason for living. And without fulfilling the order of our spiritual master, the order of Lord Krishna, we will try to cheat Krishna. If we don't serve Krishna, there's nothing in between. There's nothing like, I am, you hear people say, oh, Swamiji, I'm agnostic. I don't believe in Krishna, but I don't disbelieve in him either. You see, I'm such a good boy. Nonsense. Either you follow the laws of God or you don't follow the laws of God. You can't go before a traffic judge and say, Your Honor, I don't believe in the laws of your court. I don't disbelieve in them also. Either you drive on the right-hand side of the road or you get a ticket. It's not that you, oh, I don't believe in your laws. I'm from England. You come to a new country, you have to learn the laws and you have to follow it. It's that straightforward. And the laws of God are the laws of God. Thou shalt not kill. Means thou shalt not kill. You have no right to change it. You cannot take any life. You cannot give life, so you cannot take life of any living being. At the very most, you can eat vegetables, and that also only after offering them to God. Otherwise, even vegetables are sin. Because it is for your own gratification, atma karanat, for the atma, you're doing it for your own self without considering God or anyone else, therefore it is sin, papa. Whereas the devotees, they eat yajna shista, food offered to the Lord, and they're purified, sarva kubisha. All of their sins are cleansed simply because they take the trouble to offer their food to the Lord and ask for his blessings. They take that little trouble, not difficult. Keep an altar of Krishna in your house, either in your kitchen or in your, if you have a deity room, that's also nice. And everything you eat, you simply put a little on a plate and offer it to Krishna. You'll enjoy doing it. And the prasadam will taste so much better. Just like any food cooked with love, you can taste almost the love. How many people have compared? How many of you have ever, I'm sure you've all eaten in restaurants, right? How many have eaten in restaurants in your life? Crawley from the restaurant. Huh? Two times? It never tastes as good as mother's home cooking, right? Your mother knows how to cook. She loves to cook for her children, especially her oldest child or youngest child. Everybody in the middle is a problem. The first one and the last one, they're always the favorites. I don't know why. I don't mind, because I was the first. Yeah. Anyway, that prasadam, if you take Krishna prasadam, then your life will be sublime. If you chant Krishna's name, meditation, everybody's saying it. You have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is far more powerful than your conscious mind. So by practicing meditation, you allow yourself to activate your subconscious mind. And you can do a great deal of thinking and develop very deep realization. You absorb your conscious mind in vibrating the sound of Krishna's name. You meditate on his holy name, and then you go within yourself. Krishna leads you within to see him. Yam shama sundaram achincha guna swarupam vimanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu. Hridayeshu means that when you see Krishna in your heart becomes just like a lotus flower. Krishna will come and sit there. And just like Narad Muni, just like Dhruva Maharaj. They became stunned at the Krishna's beauty. When they first saw Krishna, they couldn't speak. Tears flowed from their eyes. He was so beautiful. He had so much love for them. He blessed them. So Krishna will bless you also. If you just lead a simple life, you don't have to practice very difficult austerities. We've been saying the same thing for 30 years and people are starting to realize it's not so difficult if you're regulated. In the beginning it may be a little difficult, but it's worth the effort. You'll get accustomed to simple living and high thinking instead of high living and buffalo thinking. I've really got it in for buffaloes. They're actually very peaceful animals. So are there any questions or comments? I'll read the verse again. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma sanstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. She says, I know the Sanskrit, I always forget the English. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. A lot of times in India people say, where the heck is Krishna now? We need him like anything. Why does he come and reestablish the principles of religion? Where's his incarnation now? Well, he is here. Even when he appeared 5,000 years ago, only about 100 people recognized him. Because they wanted to see him. You can't see Krishna with these material eyes. In the Mahabharata, Krishna was a powerful king. He was respected as a good person, but nobody accepted him as the supreme personality of Godhead. Only about 100 people, less than. So Krishna is now here in the form of his holy name. Krishna appeared 500 years ago as Lord Chaitanya. We're not claiming that he is God just because he belongs to our sect. It's there in scripture. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, it's very clearly stated, Krishna Varna Krishna Krishnam Sango Pangarsra Parshabam Yajyai Sankirtanai Prayar Yudantini Sumedasa. There's no one as famous as Lord Chaitanya for his Sankirtan movement. He's known as Gauranga, golden. That's also described. He's described in the Mahabharata, in the Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra. It's described that God will appear, his color will be golden. In many parts of the Vedas, it's described. When Garga Muni came for the birth ceremony of Krishna, he was asked to read the horoscope. So he said, this child has appeared many times before, in many births. And this child is very wonderful. He appears in every age. He has four colors. This is Kala Krishna, Black Krishna, Shamsundar. Besides this, Shukla Raktastata Pita. He appears in white form, in red form, and in Pita, yellow, golden. It's an indication of Lord Chaitanya. So we are worshipping Lord Chaitanya because of scripture. We never do anything according to speculation. We have to back it up with scripture. We don't invent or concoct. We have to have the greatest amount of integrity. Otherwise the message will be lost. Krishna spoke to Arjuna. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita because he said that this message in the course of time was lost. Therefore, I have to re-explain it again to you. The sampradaya was broken. So we have to be very careful not to add or subtract anything. Exactly as Prabhupada gave it to us. And we have to discuss Prabhupada's instructions and try to come up with the right conclusions. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki
Jai.
Are there any questions? Yes.
You said Krishna comes to the material world to show his pastimes to the condition of and he was holding back so they can go to the spiritual world. And now you explain that when he comes, his condition is he cannot recognize him. Only the devotees can recognize him and they go back to Krishna anyway. So how can he reach that?
The question is that if nobody can recognize Krishna, then how is he being compassionate? What is his preaching? Why should he come at all if nobody's going to recognize him? If he's just going to be invisible, then what is the meaning to his incarnation? Well, the Lord comes to bless the devotees, Paritranaya Sadhanam. When the devotees are blessed, then they bless others. So now it's up to you to go out and give this Krishna consciousness to others. Srila Prabhupada left a lot of his work unfinished for us to do. He established the foundation. He gave us the blueprint, the framework, but now we have to put in the walls. We have to put on the roof. We have to build the house. We have a lot of work to do. If he did everything and we would just sit around and, you know, eat the lobster. What would we do? We wouldn't have anything to do. We need things to do. You know, this is a needs-based process. We need to offer food to Krishna. Krishna doesn't need. We need to serve a spiritual master. Spiritual master doesn't need our service. It is we who benefit. Our love comes out when we offer respect to the spiritual master, when we offer the fruits of our work, when we do some service to assist him in his mission. When we serve Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada doesn't need. Prabhupada can flood the whole world with love of God simply single-handedly. He could have manifested so many opulences. He was empowered by Krishna. He could have, Jesus Christ, he did so many miracles. Prabhupada could have done that, a few little yoga tricks. You know, cure a few eyes and bless a few lepers and turn a few loaves of bread into more loaves. What is that? Any magician can do that. In fact, Jesus saw after some time people weren't interested in his teaching. They became more interested in getting cured. They weren't interested in his teaching. They said thank you afterwards, but they went back to their sinful ways, many of them. Some of them were blessed and made progress, but many didn't. So he stopped doing miracles. He rose from the dead, but that was okay. But for the most part, he stopped doing the major miracles. the small ones, the curing and healing stuff. Can you imagine if Srila Prabhupada went around curing cancer victims and AIDS victims? Rise up. You're okay. People do it in America. They're called faith healers, and they get a big following. Lots of buffalo brains out there. Lots of foolish people. Actually, it's really funny. They many times, there's some genuine faith healers. You can actually, a lot of our disease is hypochondria anyway. Psychosomatic. A lot of diseases. But sometimes faith healing, people can walk on hot coals. You can see it. There's this Anthony Robbins. They pay him about $75,000 to $100,000 a day. Good money. And he just goes before a seminar of people and tries to get them to be confident in themselves. He's a smooth talker, you know. He's a motivational speaker. So part of his, actually he does for 3 days. You go for a 3-day seminar or something. And the whole day, from early morning to night, he talks. That's amazing. He goes on talking, and people, they eat it up. They love it. And at the end of it, he gets people to walk on a burning hot coals. And they do it. They walk over the hot coals and their feet don't get burned. Because they mind over matter. They actually, some little tricks are there. They put a lot of butter on their feet. But Prabhupada could have done all that. But he wanted something genuine. He wanted you He wanted it to come out from you, the bhakti. He didn't want to convince you by some material arguments or reasoning, by some material magic. But he wanted you to experience for yourself. He wanted you to practice austerity, because that's very good for you. Prasadam adhigacchati. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyais charan atma vasyar videyatma prasadam adhigacchati. The regulative principles of freedom. And they help you to overcome envy and greed and lust and all the things that make life very horrible. Make men fight against other men and do all kinds of horrible things to each other. Families, because of lust, anger, and greed. So someone who can cure you of lust, anger, and greed, he is a miracle worker. He's got some powerful magic. So Srila Prabhupada was that person. And he was touched by his Guru Maharaj. And now he has touched some of his disciples, like Hari Kesha Maharaj. They're preaching in a very wonderful way. Empowered by Srila Prabhupada. So Krishna leaves some work for us to do, so we can get some credit. Krishna gave all the credit to Arjuna. He said, I've already killed all these people. You're saying you won't fight, but they're already killed, man. Fight! You just will be got that jura. Free from egoism, let it be, stand and fight, take the credit. You'll get the credit. I want you, you're my devotee. I want you to get the credit for winning the battle. Arjuna's name is glorified throughout the three worlds because he followed Krishna's instructions. So you can also get the credit. You can be blessed by Srila Prabhupada. In fact, the grandfather has more affection for the grandchildren than he does for his own children. I was thinking of taking initiation in the Hare Krishna Maharaj to get more blessings than grandfather. I can become a grandchild like you. You got a big chance to get Prabhupada's blessings by singing and dancing and taking the sadhana. Is that so difficult? Here in the temple or in your house or everywhere. Tell people about the holy names. This is the religion of love and joy. Any other questions? What's the matter? You don't know English? Maybe all this time I've been speaking. Sometimes that happens. In India, people will. And then you learn later on they don't know anything. Really, I'm serious. Yeah. How many of you know English? It's very disconcerting. Yes. Oh, Bombay Life members, yeah. We raised all the money. The BBT gave some money, but the major monies, a good portion of the monies were raised by Bombay Temple. They stayed at hotels, actually, the foreign delegates. Are you a scientist or something? You want I come to Sri Lanka in January. What's your field? Physics? Checking it up. No, he's going to have another conference in January. Okay, the 6th until the 12th, and the 8th until the 12th, 4 or 5 days. It's going to be very, very big. Over 3,000 delegates are coming. From abroad, many, and from India, from around India. And they have about 3 or 4 Nobel laureates coming. And many scholars, philosophers, scientists. So it should be a wonderful opportunity for preaching, and Prabhupada would be very, very happy. Bhaktivedanta Institute is doing very important work. Because the scientists, they're controlling public opinion. Like it or not, they're the brahmanas of Kali Yuga. So, we have to somehow or other conquer them by kapcha. By kapcha, by Krishna Prasad, by humble persuasion.
And by attacking him also. There's two branches of the Bhaktivedanta Institute. There's the kapcha and there's the Sarapupa.
Off soon. And the next generation of scientists will come up and they will see an alternative. So he's actually, it's a fact, we made some big mistakes in America. One of the biggest mistakes was that we went undercover. After a certain period, when I was a devotee, we would go out on Harinam Sankirtan for 12, 14 hours a day. And we would go everywhere in dhoti and kurta. And we would tell everyone, chant Hare Krishna. We'd give everyone a book, whoever we met. We would stop at the gas station, and we wouldn't pay for the gasoline. We'd offer to give a book in exchange for the gasoline. We were fanatics. So gradually what happened was somehow or other devotees, you know, people, there are some people who go a little strange when they see devotees. The first non-devotee, the first truck driver that I met after becoming a devotee, I was hitchhiking downtown for Sankirtan, and we had no money to take a bus, and we were very poor. So I was hitchhiking. We were all hitchhiking. And the truck driver picked me up, and I was in my dhoti and kurta and freshly shaved head, and this was in 1969. You know, nobody knows that. And the truck driver was just amazed. I got into his truck and he said, "Where are you from?" I was, you know, from outer planets. The hat on or a wig and wipe off his tilak and go and buy the, you know, ridiculous. We should be proud of our culture. They're offering something wonderful. We're saying they're the buffaloes. We're the swans. They're the crows. We have knowledge. You ask anyone in the street, anyone, what is their solution to old age, disease, and death? They'll look at you. What are you talking about? Just your way of talking is strange to them. Why are you talking about these things? Old age, disease, and I never think about them. You see, I just keep my mouth full of ice cream and I never think. Why are you so... Sometimes, just before joining the movement, I was always asking my friends questions, so I couldn't understand why the material world was so miserable. Even though I had all facility for material enjoyment, but everything was so artificial. People were so plastic. People played so many mental games with each other. So sometimes I got a nickname, Bummer. Because I was always asking Bummer, I don't know if you know this name, it's an expression. Anyway, I won't tell you about the expression. You don't know about it, so. Alright, I'll tell you about it. Somebody who takes lysergic acid diethyltryptamate, otherwise known as LSD, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. It's a sacrament. Or anyway, someone who does that, it was actually a drug that was developed in the 1930s for studying schizophrenia. They wanted to induce in some of their in some of their experiments, some of the volunteers, they wanted to induce artificially a state of craziness or schizophrenia. So they developed this drug, LSD, and people would take the drug and then they would become very crazy. See all kinds of things. So somehow or other, Timothy Leary decided, and Brian Austin, two college professors, they decided that this was going to be the new religion of the 60s. The best young men of that generation started leaving their school and leaving their families for taking this crazy drug. So now, even talking about it has made me crazy. I can't remember what the point of mine was. What was I talking about? Oh, Bummer. Someone who takes LSD but has a bad trip. That's known as a bummer. So I got that name because I was always asking about death. I was always asking about the purpose of life, the reason, what's the meaning, why are we just living without any meaning? So people, that's a bummer, man. Here, have a toke, you know? Have another joint. Buffalo bite. Really stupid. Anybody who has no direction in their life, they're not going to get anywhere. If you don't know your destination, you're definitely not going to get there. You go up to a ticket counter and say, give me a ticket to anywhere. Just give me a, can I have a plane ticket, please? Well, where do you want to go? Oh, nowhere, just give me a ticket. People don't know where they're going. They really don't know where they're going. They haven't thought it out from beginning to end what the purpose of. They know they're going to get in it, they're going to be born, they're going to eat Gerber's baby food, they're going to, you know, go to kindergarten, they're going to, become a teenager, terrible teens, and then they're going to go to college and, you know, they're going to get a job and have kids and, you know, get a pot belly and, you know, watch CNN and, you know, and middle age and have a crisis and then become bald like a Hare Krishna. Baldness is a big disease nowadays. A lot of it has to do with the atmosphere.
because there's so much pollutants in the air. Acid rain. And it's causing a lot of problems, and people are worried. They can't understand why anyone would choose to be bald. No reason for living. They're just bumbo. Everybody's going to do the same thing over and over again, the same thing. And they live in pigeonholes. Basically, these high-rise apartments, if you see how they keep pigeons, they have a little box. And the pigeon just flies in, and he has a little box, and he eats a sheep pigeon, and they have sex for a few hours. They can do it very good. And then flies out. And that's what people do. They have their apartments, They're pigeonholes. They fly in the world, have a little sex, and then fly out to work again. They have no direction, no purpose. They just die. They get sick, they get diseased, and they die, and they're born again. Not as Christians either. Born again as animals. So we have to help them. Krishna is helping us, and we have to have compassion. Preaching is not always, sometimes a preacher is respected. 30% of the time you'll meet favorable people. 30% of the time you'll meet indifferent people. 30% of the time you'll meet inimical people. It's the law of averages. You can expect it. There was one little girl in America. She sold cookies for the Girl Guides. Do you have Boy Scouts and Girl Guides in Croatia? Boy Scouts, you have girls?
No.
Girl Guides? She says there is. We don't know. Girls now. How many girls were Girl Guides? No? Maybe she was. Okay. So this girl was selling cookies to raise money for the Girl Guides. She was 10 years old. She was so successful at selling cookies. In 4 years, she was the national champion every year. IBM, Hewlett-Packard, Nordstrom, all the biggest companies brought her to their company to speak to their salespeople. A whole auditorium of salespeople. And this little girl would stand up and tell them how she sold cookies. She said, I would go out and I saw that about every 10 doors, I would knock on doors, and about every 10 doors, someone would buy some cookies. So as soon as I went to a door and knocked on the door, and someone said no, I would get very excited. I would think, only 9 more doors, because someone will buy some cookies. Then I would go to the next door, and they would say no. Oh, only 8 more doors. And I became so excited. And she was so successful. So you just go out preaching. You share this love of Krishna, wonderful process, singing, dancing, feasting, philosophizing. We have the most scientific philosophy. No other scripture in the world can compare with what we have. We have a great line of yogis, scholars, ascetics, devotees, powerful men. We have a great culture. We have wonderful experience. Who can compare with the experience of Sankirtan? So nice. So we should definitely spread the good news. Give the word. Give the message to everybody, our friends, our family. We'll meet with obstacles, but you'll be blessed just for trying. even if you're unsuccessful, even if everybody you preach to rejects you, that's not the point. The point is that you had enough love to try. You had enough faith to try, and Krishna appreciates that. You'll make good advancement, and you'll become strong in your conviction, your doubts will be destroyed, and you'll become very peaceful and happy. Yatma supersedati. This is satisfying to the soul, this Krishna katha. Anyway, it's only 11:30. Don't worry, it's only 10. Well, it's a working day? No, it's not. Sunday, right? Everybody sleeps in on Sunday. So, are there any more questions? Okay. Yantaraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki
Jai!
Srila Swami Maharaj Ki Jai!